few weeks ago, a friend of mine was talking about some of the choices that he's making in his life, and he told me, right now I'm self-absorbed in my spirituality. Right now I'm self-absorbed in my spirituality. So I'm going to leave you with that thought for a moment while I talk about the second reading this morning, the one from the letter to the Hebrews. And I want to talk about it because it's pretty confusing. We get dropped in at the deep end of that reading. There's no context. We just suddenly get told. What do we get told? We suddenly get told, you have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness. Well, I'm glad, really, that we have not come to a blazing fire and darkness. The passage comes from the letter to the Hebrews, and nobody really knows who wrote it. But it seems that it was written for Jewish Christians who were beginning to doubt that Jesus was the Messiah because he was not a political leader. And so the writer explains the work of Jesus with constant reference to the Jewish faith using the imagery of priesthood and sacrifice. So the passage from this morning is contrasting our experience as followers of Jesus with that of the ancient Hebrew people at the time of Moses. Rather than their physical experiences of God manifesting in the desert and at Mount Sinai, we have an unseen but nonetheless glorious vision. The writer says, we have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering. This vision is one of the reign of God where all creation is made new and all beings live in harmony. It's a communal vision, not one based on individual personal experience. Which brings me back to my friend, self-absorbed in his spirituality. I know what he was trying to say. That at present he is going through an intense period of inner work which takes time and attention. I certainly honor that. We all need times of focused attention on our relationship with God. Yet spirituality in the footsteps of Jesus can never leave us self-absorbed, because for Jesus, spirituality is all about bringing the reign of God near, making it manifest now, and that means a life of service to God and to our neighbor. It can be easy for us as church people to get caught up in the infrastructure of our communal life and lose touch with the bigger picture. I can fret about the position of the lectern or about who did not adequately clean the tables before they were put away and lose the sight of the fact that this is not about me and not about my preferences, but about serving and worshiping God to the best of our abilities. We can become self-absorbed in our own ways of doing church and lose sight of the people who don't share our culture and our history. And this rapidly becomes a failure of hospitality, as we expect everyone to instantly know how things work when they visit us. The Episcopal Church is for many people an entirely new world, a bit like being thrown suddenly into that reading from Hebrews. As we seek to welcome visitors, part of our hospitality is letting go of the way we do things in order to step over the boundary of us and them and find our common humanity in Christ. And part of our growing as a faith community that embraces diversity is accepting and finding the joy in new expressions, different music, unfamiliar words. In today's gospel reading, the leader of the synagogue was stuck in the way that things should be. He kept saying to the crowd, there are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day. But Jesus was not hidebound by the way that things ought to be done. He saw the woman's need and he responded with love and compassion. He crossed the artificial boundary of the Sabbath in order to bring healing. We live in a time where boundaries and borders are being emphasized. When people are starting to fear for their lives because they are in some way different from the majority. The El Paso shooter had posted an anti-immigrant diatribe shortly before he killed 20 people in Walmart. Last week, a transgender woman was assaulted at a hotel in San Luis Obispo. White supremacists are being emboldened by the culture of attack and blaming, and racism is alive and well and growing. Yet we are members of the Jesus movement, the Messiah who was not a military leader, but instead preached reconciliation and who reached out across religious and ethnic boundaries. As the reading from Hebrews says, we are followers of Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and we have come to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So let's unpack that sentence. Back in Genesis, in the early Hebrew description of how the world came to be the place it is, there was a dispute between the two brothers, Cain and Abel. Cain was a farmer, Abel was a shepherd. For some unspecified reason, they believed that God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but not Cain's. And in his anger and disappointment, Cain murdered his brother. God said to Cain, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Now, of course, Abel's blood did not literally speak, but the understanding of the writer is that it was accusing Cain and crying out for vengeance. In contrast, the writer to the Hebrews says, Jesus' blood which he bled on the cross cries out for forgiveness and mercy. These are two different kinds of justice. Justice which punishes and justice which restores the breakdown of relationship. Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant between humanity and God, but also between humans. In this new covenant, justice restores and makes whole. Justice rebuilds community. With Abel's blood on his hands, Cain became a pariah. With Jesus' blood metaphorically sprinkled on us like the blood of an ancient sacrifice, we become a people of reconciliation. Sometimes we look at the divisions and the increasing tensions in society and we think that there is nothing we can do, but that is not true. There is much that we can do here, right here in Los Osos. We can take the risk of reaching out across boundaries of habit, convention, ethnicity, gender, and familiarity. As a congregation, we have several opportunities to do so. This Wednesday, we offer Laundry Love, free laundry for our neighbors in need. This is a time not just to provide free clothes and bedding, but a time also to build friendships with people we don't normally meet. It takes a while to wash and dry clothes, and that provides time to reach out and meet someone different with respect and love and caring. And next week we get to serve the community dinner. Again, this is a time when we can meet neighbors in a new way. Serving food is good. Sitting down and meeting people where they are, finding the Christ in them and loving them just as they are is even better. And we have a similar opportunity when we serve at People's Kitchen, a chance to reach across social boundaries to touch and be touched by the other. And of course, the Abundance Shop is our major ministry. This is not just about providing a resource for recycling and reusing, about providing low-cost clothes and household items for those in need. It is much more than that. It is about making caring relationships with people throughout the community. Some poor, some wealthy, some who speak English, some who struggle and only have a few words. All the world comes through the shop. And for many of them, it is the only connection they have with the Jesus movement. It is the only time they meet God with flesh on. If you've never worked at the shop, I encourage you to consider volunteering. We need sorters, and at present we are short of several cashiers. This is a place where we live out the new covenant, seeing Christ in all beings. This is a place where we live our spirituality, and instead of being self-absorbed, we can be Christ-absorbed. So I challenge you to take a step this week across a boundary of your own. This might be quite simple. You might speak to someone who you see regularly, like a neighbor, but never stopped to have a conversation with. You might choose to help with laundry love to meet some new people. You might look for someone of another ethnic background and strike up a conversation. Or you might call that family member who has a different political stance to you, or even the one who's a fundamentalist Christian. You don't need to talk about what separates you, but about what you have in common. And let us also reach out in prayer. Jesus taught us to pray for our enemies. He knew we'd have people who oppose us or people whose values we abhor. Pick someone whom you find difficult to like or to trust and make a commitment to pray for them regularly. Because we are the ones who have been given the new vision. We are the ones who have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering. We are the ones who have been called to turn away from self-absorption and to love God and our neighbor as ourselves. We are the people of reconciliation.